This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we've been talking about security in MRT stations, particularly because we now know that there are going to be an additional... How many is it?
Well, some of its 1,300 auxiliary police that the Transport Ministry has.
Yes, so they are going to be both uniformed and plain clothes. We've been focusing in particular on the idea of plain clothes because there seems to be a certain level of discomfort that's coming through with people, including myself, hoping for uniforms, you know, just that visibility as a deterrent. But we've also been asking you what else you'd like to see in terms of security in the stations. You know, are you comfortable with the idea? And you can weigh in, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have this WhatsApp from Yvonne.
Yep, recounting an experience that I also experienced some sort of security threat at Kelantan LRT. Tried looking for auxiliary police, but only found them, four of them, at the Setia Wangsa LRT station, who after that, Yvonne made a complaint to Rapid KL asking what the SOP is when deploying auxiliary police equally at all rail stations. Never got a proper response from Rapid KL or MOT. Now, the Ministry of Transport wants to deploy plainclothes policemen. I don't think they're addressing public safety and security.
Perhaps this could have been done with more consultation, because I think it came about, again, as a response, right? It's like, oh, there was a big crime. It went viral. You know, everybody's very upset about this. Look, we've got to solve this. We've got to make people feel more safe, more secure right now. And in terms of the most immediate things, right, having more CCTV cameras, having it being fed directly to the people to view it straight away so that they can monitor it, having more people, all of these sound good, you know, on the surface of it. And I think mostly they are. But if perhaps they'd done it with more consultation, then these more specific worries and concerns would have floated up as well.
I'd like to maybe just give the Ministry of Transport the benefit of doubt. Perhaps they are only reacting now and responding more properly later, getting to the consultation stage, because now they're just putting a band-aid on a wound, right, that they have to close.
Keep those messages coming. Like I said, you can keep WhatsApping 018-789-8899 and you can tweet at BFM Radio. So, meanwhile, our next story is a story that's kind of been percolating over the entire week. And it came from an exclusive report from The Star. Defence Minister Mohamed Sabu has alleged that four army camps were relocated during Barisan Nasional's time in order to move military voters and secure political support in certain areas.
At the time, the armed forces had said that there was no need for an army base in those areas. But under BN, the ministry ignored those protests and went ahead. This move involving 16 land swaps caused MINDEF, or the Ministry of Defence, to lose over 500 million ringgit in deals close to 5 billion ringgit from 1997 to 2018.
So the four bases are located in Hutan Melintang in Perak, Bera in Pahang, and Segamat and Paloh in Johor. Today, the National Patriots Association President, Dato' Muhammad Arshad Raji, has alleged that the schemes look very similar to those used for 1MDB's so-called debt rationalisation, and asserted that these were just the tip of the iceberg.
Mat Sabu said the projects were implemented without detailed planning and developers were selected without due diligence. A source the SAR spoke to said that those involved in the alleged deals were from the higher ranks. The source said some of them were retired generals, and it is sad that their obedience is more to politicians than to the king and country, as all army personnel are supposed to be.
This isn't the first time that these allegations have surfaced. Last year, Bursa 2.0 reported that thousands of army personnel were being moved into army camps still under construction and then being registered as postal voters in that area. So, Mat Sabu has called the land swaps an abuse of power and has since instructed his officers to file reports with the police, MACC and other relevant agencies.
So, three former defence ministers have come out to, well, defend themselves.
They have to at this point, I feel.
So, Dato' Sri Najib Tun Razak, Dato' Sri Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi and Dato' Sri Hishamuddin Hussein all said they were ready to be investigated and had nothing to fear. Najib said land prices change over time. In a Facebook post, Zahid called for a royal commission of inquiry to look into the claims, and Hishamuddin said Mat Sabu was just digging dirt into BN to distract the people and told him to stop politicking and start performing as defence minister.
So we have on the line Dato' Muhammad Arshad Raji, whom you heard earlier mentioned in the piece as well, retired Brigadier General and President of the National Patriots Association, to just weigh in on all of this. Dato, thanks for joining us. how do politicians profit from land for army bases being swapped?
I think the obvious, when you talk about land swap, I think there must be some money involved, you know, sort of thing. And then their friends are involved because they may beef the land to friends sort of thing. But I'm not very sure. I'm not very sure. I cannot make what benefits they get. I think basically it's monetary. I suppose it's monetary. What I know is, see, when the camps were built, the camps actually was not ready. You know, when the point in time when the issue came up, the camps were not ready. Yeah, but there were sort of accusation that voters' names of soldiers were sent to these places where the camps were to be built, and then for the purpose of voting. Yeah, that was the accusation. But I think one need to really check with the source whether that was really the case, because you need to check with the EC, for example.
So when is land swapping for army bases justifiable? Are there any good reasons for doing so?
I think there must be a strategic reason. There must be a strategic reason. You just don't build camps anywhere you like, is it? It's just simply plonk a camp and build a camp and people go there. It's not like that. You build a camp because of certain strategic reason.
So what effect does it have when done for the wrong reasons? Are there any national security concerns?
Of course, there's national security concerns, because you must remember I think this is a planning, because when we build camps, you have to meet certain reasons, certain planning reasons, you know, for long term reasoning to build camps in a certain area. You just cannot be just built and then that's it. It shouldn't be like that. But in the case of I think we're talking about the four camps to be built, in Batu Bulintang, Segamat. That one, I think that was a clear intention of the then government to boost up the voting number of voters in that area. That's very clear. That's the wrong concept. You should not be building camps to boost up voting, the voting of people in that area. It has got strategy based on strategic reason. See? There must be strategic reason to build camps. But the way the camp was built, and at the time when election was about, during the time of election, I think that's wrong. And furthermore, the camps, when this issue came up, the camps were not ready. There was no camp yet. Actually, there were just a few buildings being built up. There's no camps ready. So I think the reason is political, by the way.
So you've said that if military top brass are involved, even if they've retired, action should be taken against them. What action do you think that should be?
Oh, what a kind of action. If I was a chief of army, I'd sack them. If there is any bribery, bribes being paid, no, you just charge them. Charge them to the court. If there is an element, of course, there are top brasses and the armed forces involved in the decision making to satisfy the political punya requirement, knowing the fact that there was no reason there's no genuine reason to move to build camps there, I think action must be taken.
What regulations would you like to see in place to prevent unnecessary swapping?
Anything you build, anything that we build, you must have reason for this. There must be some strategic reasoning. You can't just build as you wish. I think this is a long sort of long term reasoning. You know, you just cannot build anyway camps as you like. So, but the funny thing about this, what do you call that? The camps have been built. Why build so many camps at the same time? And that's another, if one gets very suspicious, like you build so many camps at one time, four camps are built in different places, and all these places are, when you look at the, places, who benefits actually, and you look around, you find all the places where camps have been built, is to meet a requirement for politicians, but for a particular politician. Batu Melintang is just damage this camp. Bro is the Ismail Sabri area. Gamat is Gamat. So all these are places where politicians are will gain, And that's not right reason.
Why do you think the swapping of army bases is linked to 1MDB? I mean, you made a statement to that effect today.
Well, you look at the period in which the 1MDB was formed, and the land swap. It happened about the same time. It was in 2008 before the election, what do you call that, 13th election. You see, so I think that is a link. Right? I assume that there's a link because it was done about the same time as 1MDB.
You were quoted saying that you recall former 1MDB chief executive Arulkanda Kandasamy had bragged about the success of the scheme to pay down the state investment firm's tens of billions of debt early last year. Could you tell us what he said?
He said. I think it was in 2017 or 18. Can he say the rationalization program? Remember? He said that. All the loans will be paid. It's very funny because 1MDB then had no business, what were they doing? They were not doing the business, they were just selling land to a company. Whatever project they had was not generating revenue. They had no business. So how do you expect to pay the loan? Loans are going to be paid. Well, they start selling land. That's how I see it.
And you've also said that these revelations, in your view, are only the tip of the iceberg. What did you mean by that?
You talk about issues like remember they were talking about PFI. PFI is going to be another issue. There are a lot of issues which was hidden. So now it's exposed, and I think there'll be bigger things. Tun himself said the PFI issue is going to be bigger than an MDB.
So former Prime Minister Najib Razak has said that the findings that MINDEF estimated losses of 500 million ringgit over 21 years from 1997 to 2018 is subjective. What do you think about this?
Subjective? I don't know. I think that was a report given by the auditors. The auditors have made an audit on this one. I think we have to believe in what the audit says. Najib doesn't seem to know anything. I don't believe what he says now. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You have to trust the auditors. Auditors came up with this figure. So who are you to believe? You believe in Nigeria, you believe in auditors.
And you've also said that the heads of the country's armed forces were responsible for the declining image of our military. What can we do to improve this?
You've got to go back. You've got to search back, go back to find out who are the culprits in the armed forces. There are many of them. I know there's some still hanging around. These are the people. I think you can. The auditors will tell you. Audit can trace back the decision making and all that. Who are the people making decision making? I think there will be some senior officers involved. And if they're involved, tell them to leave. If they're student service, you tell them to leave. That's the only way. You cannot compromise issues of corruption is happening in service, because we are not. We are told we in service. We are told not to be corrupt. We are security minded. We are defense style people who defend the country. You should not be talking about corruption, making money and all that. I think the auditors may be to tell you. I hope the Amin Buang team, when auditing MINDEF, has got to work very hard. There are a lot of projects. MINDEF is known as Lubuk for corruption. What kind of projects? $1 million projects. And I'm quite sure some military staff guys are involved in making that kind of decision. And search, we see, auditors will find out. we'll have to find out who are the people that make decisions. And I'm quite sure there are people, money being thrown around.
Dato, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dato Muhammad Arshad Raji, retired Brigadier General and President of the National Patriots Association. And we have this message that came through from Ramison saying, in 1997, the current PM was the PM, so perhaps Mat Sabu might begin with asking his boss. Yes. And then we received this message as well on the subject of plainclothes policemen from James. In my opinion, they are indeed needed. And that's, of course, plainclothes officers. If only uniformed policemen are stationed at MRT stations, criminals can easily scan and make sure there are no policemen in sight before carrying out their crimes. In contrast, when people are if they are plainclothes officers, the criminals will never know if there are any around. Hence, they will think twice before carrying out their crimes. And I guess that's why they have two. Mm. You know, so you have the people in plainclothes to serve that function, and then hopefully you also have enough people in uniform to serve the other function of making people feel reassured and serving as a visual deterrent. I know I've been going on about that, but as someone who travels alone from time to time, it's so important to me.
You know, if the criminals, I guess if they were smart enough, they could just hang around long enough and observe to see who actually is the police officer and who isn't. That also could be done, but I get where James is coming from.
Thank you, everybody, for sending your messages through today. We are going to be headed to some music after this, and then it is On the Ball, so so stay tuned for your football fix after the 8 o'clock news. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.